This Bible talk titled The Cross and the New Creation is on Galatians chapter 6 verses 11 to 18. It's the final sermon in our series Rescue on the letter to the Galatians, and it was given at Ravenna on Sunday the 10th of April 2022.
According to McCrindle Research, 64% of Australians identify as being Christian. 64% of Australians identify as Christian. That's the majority of Australians identifying with Christianity, which makes Christianity Australia's biggest religion, the most popular amongst the populace of our population. 30% of Australians claim to be no religion, which I think is a contradiction in terms. The fastest growing religion is no religion, but believing in nothing is still a belief in something. It's the minority that seems to be making the big decisions, the ones who make the most political noise, while only 6% of Australians identify with some other religion as the religion that they identify with. But with 64% who identify as Christians, only 33% of that 64% consider themselves to be Christian, and only 9% call themselves active or practicing Christians. And so here's my question. Of the 64% of Australians who identify as Christian, even though 33% consider themselves to be Christian, what is it in Christianity that they are identifying with? What identifies them as Christians? What is it that marks them out as being Christian? Well, it's clearly not going to church, because only 9% of Australian Christians do that regularly. By the way, thanks for being here this morning, friends. Thanks for maintaining our average. But can you imagine what Australia would be like if 64% of our country regularly went to church? We wouldn't have issues with kids' sport on Sundays. Wouldn't be late for birthday parties after church for the kids. Parking would be even harder. Our social issues would be very different too, wouldn't they? We'd be having very different conversations around the workplace water cooler. But what is it that 64% of Australians identify with in Christianity? What marks them out as being Christian? Well, you ask the majority of the people at the Ravenna Town Centre wandering around there at the moment what makes someone a Christian, and you'll find the answer is pretty much the same answer as most people in most Australian churches. And that is, they'll tell you that being a Christian is about what you do. It's about doing instead of being. Because most Australian Christians think Christianity is about them. It's all about our activities. It's all about all that we do. You've got to have something to show for it. It's marked out by our ethical stances that we take, what you do and who you do and don't vote for, what you post on Facebook and Instagram, how you spend your Christmas and your Easter, occasionally darkening the doorways of a church for Christmas, Easter, weddings, baptisms and funerals. If there's one point that Paul wants to make obvious, if there's one thing he wants to clear up once and for all, if there's only one thing that you walk away with from our sermon series on Galatians, it's this. Christianity is not about you. It's not about you at all. Now, I promise you, friends, if I started making church all about you, our attendance percentage would be better than average. Our buildings would become more of a problem than they already are. But it's not my job to do that. I'm not here to make Christianity more popular. And it wasn't Paul's task either. Paul made it clear he wasn't trying to please people. See it again with me, Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. As a percentage among our population, Christianity might be the most popular religion, but authentic Christianity, biblical Christianity, is very unpopular because Christianity isn't about you. If anything, Christianity is an insult to you. It's honestly an affront to all of your pride, an attack on your personal efforts. The gospel reveals to us exactly who we are, and there's nothing that we can do about it. The gospel clearly reveals to us that it's going to take a mighty work of God to change us. Christianity tells you that you're condemned by God and that only Jesus can rescue you. Because Christianity isn't about what you do, it's all about what Jesus has done. And so it's not surprising then that that's what the letter of the Galatians is all about. Galatians is all about what Jesus has done for us. So we don't have to do anything because we can't do anything. The marks of authentic Christianity is faith. It's not about what you do. Look, Paul is so desperate for us to understand this, so keen to impress it upon the Galatians that he even changes the size of his font. Look there, verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. The large letters that Paul refers to, the large letters Paul now writes, are not the letters to the Corinthians and the Romans. He's not talking about the length of his letters. And it's not like Paul's going blind or the Galatians have eyesight problems. The large letters aren't written in large print because they're all over the age of 40. Paul's talking about the size of his handwriting. He's writing down these words for you. You see, Paul's wanting to make a point. He's wanting to grab our attention. It's like putting everything in caps lock, capital letters, or underlining every single word. It's like changing the colour or putting some of the words in bold. I received an email this week about an upcoming event that I'm involved with, and just about every word of the letter was in caps lock. Look, it was a nice enough email, but it felt like they were shouting at me. Paul's wanting to make a point. He's writing large to grab your attention. Here it is, he says. Don't miss it. See it for yourself. Are you ready? Those people wanting you to be circumcised want you to make Christianity all about you. They're forcing you to be circumcised because they think it's all about them, and they're compelling you to be circumcised because they've made it all about them. And even though they've made it all about them, they don't do what they say they do anyway. That's what makes religious people arrogant. It's what makes religious people proud and self-righteous. If you don't do everything the way I want you to do it, then let me give you all of my reasons why you should. Have you met people like that before? I have. Remember what Jesus said about them, Matthew chapter 23, verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They don't practice what they preach, says Jesus. They expect you to do the things that they don't do. Hypocrisy, he says. Religious hypocrites. They boast and brag about themselves, says Jesus. Paul says they boast in the flesh. They cut their skin in circumcision so that they can avoid being pierced by the crucifixion. But the cross of Christ puts boasting to death. The cross leaves me with nothing to brag about. Circumcision makes it all about me, but the cross puts me to death. Religion makes it all about me, but the cross gives me nothing to boast in. The cross says there is nothing good about me, and there's nothing that I can do about that. It declares that I stand condemned before a holy, righteous, and just God, and the cross tells me that I need to be rescued. No point in me telling you how good I am when God says I'm under his judgment for my sin. No point in me telling you all the good that I do when God says, I need a saviour. The cross puts me to death. But the cross that puts me to death is the same cross that now gives me new life. Look there again, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See it again. The cross puts the flesh to death. Paul says, it's no longer I who live. The cross leaves me with nothing to boast about. I've been crucified with Christ. The present age of evil is past. The value systems of the old age are gone. The way we measure things is different. The old scales now tipped out of balance. And so we no longer judge people or others based on performances and appearances. We no longer value other people by what they can do for us or how they make us feel about ourselves. We no longer accept other people on the basis of their credentials and qualifications. Why? Because the cross leaves me with nothing. It gives me nothing to boast about. And so with nothing left to boast about, Paul now boasts in nothing else but the cross. Look there, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You see, the cross is where Jesus is condemned for us. And it's where God rescues us. The cross is where the flesh is condemned. It's where I've been crucified to the world. The cross is where this present age of evil is crucified, where the new creation now begins to dawn. Rescued by the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Now in Christ, I am a new creation. The cross is where uncircumcision means nothing and where uncircumcision means nothing too. Being proud about being religious, friends, is as pointless as being proud about being irreligious. No religion Australians are proud religious people. They boast in their own knowledge and their own lack of faith. They condemn and they dismiss other people as not being as intelligent or as educated as they are. Religious people, religious Australians are proud religious people because they boast about themselves by way of comparison. They think they have better values or greater morals. They think that they're better people. But the cross is where I have nothing left to boast about. It leaves me with nothing. Because all that counts now is all that Christ is now making me. Our merits merit nothing. His merits merit everything. The cross is where Jesus makes us new. It's where we are his new creation. Where the price of admission into his eternal and everlasting kingdom is simply an admission of your own guilt. What religious people try to avoid in the cross is the very thing that Paul now glories in. Hear him again, the death of self. We no longer live. And it's always been this way with following Jesus, hasn't it? Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? But when you are all that you have ever known, when you are everything that you've learnt to rely upon, when you take your identity from the things that you've achieved in the past, when you're still dining out on past successes, previous triumphs, and old stories, it's really hard to give that up, isn't it? But don't you see? The old is gone. The only thing worth counting now is the one that we can count upon. All those worldly distractions and distinctions, rather, are gone. All those barriers of division are broken. No longer Jew or Gentile, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, all finished, all done, all one in Christ Jesus. The world is now making way for the new state of affairs in the new creation, just like it is in us. In us, the old makes way to birth something new. And so Paul says, I'll boast in the cross, because it's the cross who makes me who I am and who I am becoming. And so I want you to see who the cross makes us. Look there, verse 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. The cross makes us the Israel of God. It makes us brothers and sisters, see it there, verse 18. It makes us family. We are sons and heirs of this new and everlasting kingdom. By the Spirit of God, we now cry together, Abba, Father. We are adopted as his children, the children of God, as the people of God. Friends, this isn't replacement theology. We're not simply swapping out Old Testament Israel with New Testament church. It's not about baptism for circumcision or the Lord's Supper for the Passover. That was the whole problem in Galatia, wasn't it? We don't become Christian Jews. This is all about promise and fulfillment. God's promises finding their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Because it was God who made promises to Abraham, wasn't it? Galatians 3, verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So there's no longer Jew and Gentile. Only those who rely on faith are blessed. Don't you see? We're Abraham's children. Sarah is our mother. We inherit the promises of the blessings to Abraham. The heavenly Jerusalem is now our home. So there's not two groups of people anymore. Not two groups of God's people. There's only one. Because there's not two ways of salvation. There's only one. After saying the cross tears it all down, for Paul now to rebuild the wall in these final verses would not only be contrary to the entire letter that he's just written, but some kind of cruel and unexpected twist. We share the inheritance, friends, with no stepbrother. We are the children of the promise. We are not illegitimate children of God. We are legally adopted into his family. We are God's children by faith in Jesus and not by the things that we do. It's like Paul told Peter in Antioch, Galatians 2, verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Christianity isn't about us. The gospel is really about the death of us. And that's why it's not very popular. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18 consist of 121 words in the Greek New Testament. 121. 163 words in the NIV, and 171 words in the ESV. There are as many translations of Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, as there are English versions of the Bible. And from what I can tell, no two English versions of the Bible on this verse are the same. These verses here, friends, they are hotly contested in biblical scholarship. But here is Paul's point. The church is the Israel of God. the mercy and peace of God that once belonged to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the descendants of Israel, now because of the cross of Christ, by faith belongs to us who are the church. By faith, we've inherited God's promises. By faith, we are God's chosen people. By faith, we are the children of God. Circumcision isn't what marks us out as the people of God. Christianity is not about what you do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. You see, what marks us out as belonging to Him is Him. Jesus is the mark of authentic Christianity. Look there, verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Because of the gospel, Paul has suffered in his own body. Hear him. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul's marks aren't the marks of circumcision. They aren't the marks of taking up, they are the marks of taking up his cross daily. Paul's scars aren't from post-elective surgery. He suffers because of God's call upon his life. Preaching the dawn of the new creation to a present age of evil will always bring trouble and conflict. The truth that Christianity isn't about you, but that the gospel is about the death of you, is never going to be very popular. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. The cross is an insult to your pride. It is an all-out attack on your achievements and your efforts. The cross is proof of my sin, and as a consequence that I stand condemned before a holy and righteous God. But it's also evidence of God's peace and mercy to me, isn't it? It's proof that I need to be rescued by a Saviour, and that I have been. The cross is the confirmation of the love of God for us. Paul said, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. The Son who makes us his sons, the Father who gives us his Spirit, the Son of God who gives us his grace. Grace from start to finish is the gospel, friends, that you have heard and received. Why would you believe in a different gospel? There isn't any other. And so the marks of authentic Christianity, what marks us out as Christians, what identifies us as being Christian, is Christ in you. Christ being formed in you. And so who we are now is all that Jesus is now making us and recreating us to be. A new creation, friends. A new creation. That's all that counts. And that's all that matters now amongst us. That you are becoming more like Jesus. That's what matters most. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that this isn't a feel-good message. And we thank you that the gospel doesn't make us feel better about ourselves. And we thank you that the good news of the gospel is really a message of death to ourselves, our pride, our boasting, and our arrogance and our efforts. We want to thank you that the cross levels the playing field for all of us. That we all stand condemned before you because of our sin. And that there is nothing that we can do in order to change that. So forgive us, Lord Jesus, of our pride. Forgive us of our boasting. Forgive us of our comparing and our competing and our contrasting our lives with others. Forgive us of our judgmentalness. Forgive us for accepting people based on appearances and their performances. Would you help us to demonstrate your mercy and peace in the very same way that you've demonstrated your mercy and peace to us. Remind us again that Christianity isn't about us, but all about Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that as your new created people, the people that you are shaping us and changing us to be and become, we pray that you would give us insight, that we might begin to see ways in which the new creation is at work within each of us, that the fruit of the Spirit might bear fruit in our lives, and that we might rejoice and delight with you, that you are making all things new. Make us new, we pray, that your world that you've created might know that we are your disciples, because Christ is at work in us. Amen.